the trip?
All right. So what really impacted me on the trip was a lot. I was nervous because it was my first missions trip, and I was away from my mom, and I haven't been away from my mom a lot. And when I got to the city, it was huge and chaotic. Nothing beyond what I imagined it would be. I was preparing myself for the whole entire thing, thinking, oh, it'd be easy and smooth. But that totally changed my mind. When we were helping out with the apartment that we cleaned, we worked our butts off. We did hard work. We scrubbed the apartment clean. Seeing the kids in, like, Harlem and Chelsea, being excited when the Dream Center got there and having good relationships with everybody that worked there. And when we were giving out the sandwiches in Harlem and all that, and it was really impressive because even the ones with the littlest things, or if they got the littlest things that we had there, they were the most grateful for everything. And I was also touched when we did the backpack giveaway and how much they were accepting of the backpacks and food, and my heart was changed. And
all right, Mackenzie was a trooper, that's for sure.
Hey. So, I'm Nicole. They've been calling me the navigator. I got us through the subways pretty well for the most part. It was a little confusing, but as they've said, we served with the Dream Center of New York City while we were there. And so we did games with kids. We did face painting with kids. We played all sorts of games. We cleaned like we've never cleaned before, that's for sure. And we also did ministry to the homeless and those on the streets and in the projects. And what really touched me was the team that we worked with from the Dream Center. This is something that they do all week long, all the time, and it must be exhausting. But they were completely passionate and on fire for showing the love of Christ to everyone that they reached out to. And that was the biggest thing that I could take away from this week. It recharged that in me. It recharged that passion that God's put in me to share that love that he's poured into my life. So I came back tired from running around the city all week, but I came back recharged and passionate to share the love of Christ. And I really also, I took away from it that in order to touch those people that are hurting, that have never seen or encountered God, is we need to present ourselves in a vulnerable, genuine way, that it's not about the way we look. I mean, we were sweating, running around the city. Some of us weren't wearing any makeup. You know, it wasn't about any of that. It was about showing the heart of God to those people. And that was just a huge just check to me that that's what we need when we go out on our streets. That's what we need. And so I'm so glad that I had the chance to go with this amazing team. And yeah.
And she literally was our navigator. She even got Chris and Jessica back when they decided not to get off the subway with us. So she got them back to the hotel.
No, that was all them. So,
give it up for Shandy.
Hi, City Church. I love you guys. So I just wanted to emphasize that serving is the greatest gift I believe God has ever given to us. And it's just a matter of really pressing into it. I heard a quote this week and it really stood out to me. It said, "Something is wrong when our lives make sense to unbelievers." And sometimes we get offended, but yet our lives shouldn't make sense because, I mean, to a normal person going on a mission trip, cleaning for random people, you know, that doesn't really make sense. And so basically what Nicole, where's Nicole? She was sitting down. Basically what Nicole said, we have to be vulnerable. We have to be real. We're out there to show them our hearts. I wanted to read John 13 and it says, "When he had washed their feet and put on his garments and resumed his place, he said to them," and this is Jesus, "do you remember what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." God calls, we are created to serve. God calls us to wash one another's feet. He calls us to do whatever he wants us to do. Cleaning dirty houses, scrubbing, you know, we made it fun. But God calls us to love and God calls us to serve. Mark 10 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life away as a ransom for many. And I was talking to a woman. It was the same person that Nicole chatted with, and she said something, and I'll never forget, and it was awesome. I got all excited when she said it. She said, we must stop telling people about Jesus and start showing them. And quoting Miss Pastor Martin up here, she said, and I'll never forget this. This will always stick with me. She said, a selfless act of love will always show Jesus. And we make this so complicated. We don't need to travel to other countries to show Jesus. An act of kindness, holding a door, smiling, paying for someone's coffee, that's showing Jesus. And that doesn't make sense to the normal person. And that's what will lead them to Jesus. You know, our life shouldn't make sense to unbelievers. We're different. We're set apart. God doesn't call us to fit in. God calls us to be set apart. And God calls us to wash one another's feet. He calls us to do the dirty work. We tend to complicate things. Life is not about us. Life is about serving the kingdom of God. Life is about making a difference in the lives of others. When we take care of God's kingdom, and I'm sure you're going to share that. I don't want to take away from it. When we take care of God's kingdom, he takes care of us and our families. And Aaron will go off of that. I'm not stealing any of that. So I just want to make sure I thought this was so good. When you serve, you don't have time to think about yourself, your problems, your issues, your concerns. When you serve the kingdom of God, your attention is on God and God alone. You start to see God do the impossible, and it helps you believe God for the impossibilities in your own life. So while you're serving, your attention's not on yourself. You're serving God. Yet through that serving, he's helping you see your impossibilities as possible. Through that, because your attention's not on you, your attention's on others. When you focus your day on others, your life will never be the same. When you wake up in the morning and you think, how can I make a difference in the life of someone else? And you're focusing on other people, your life will never be the same, because you'll see God make the impossible possible every day in your life. And just to wrap this up, so often I think we see other people doing the work of God. We see other people going on mission trips. And I know one of the biggest things is, oh, I don't have the money to do that. There's no way that I could do that. Don't allow those things to stop you from doing missions. If you have it in you and you feel it in your heart, do it. God will supply, but you have to take the first step. You have to have faith. You need to believe that God will get you there. Because if you don't believe, then you're never gonna see it, the fruit in your life. You have to believe and have faith. But at the same time, remember, it's simple. Wake up every morning and say, ask God, please use me today. And make a difference right where you're at, in work, in your family, at home, in the community of Batavia, City Church. God can use you anywhere, anytime, any place.
Amen. Brandon, come on over here. A new side of Brandon came out on the trip. So I hope that you showed them some of your, you know, sass. Roop.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Brandon. This is my first. Okay, I gotta focus. This was my first missions trip. Not only was this my first missions trip, it was my first time actually to New York City. I believe that now that I can look back on it, I believe that I was worried that once I got there, I would see like the stereotypical rude person, because you know how we always hear those stereotypical rumors about people being rude and all that mess. Granted, there were some rude people, yes, but it wasn't as much as I expected. What really showed itself to me, I believe that it was God that was showing this to me. As the week progressed, and as we were walking, seeing like homeless people sleeping on the sidewalks, people around just like asking for money and all that, and even as we were helping those two people with cleaning out their apartments, one thing that stuck out to me is that sometimes people can forget just how blessed and how fortunate they really are, because one thing that I heard in my own mind, I believe it wasn't like words, but it was like what I felt was God saying, look, you just don't know how good you've got it. Because there have been times where I collect a lot of material stuff, and there have been times where I realize now that when I could be worrying about what would be the latest addition to my collection, someone else could be worrying about where or when they would get their next meal. What, another thing that showed itself to me was when we were giving out a lot of food and clothing in Harlem. There was this one guy that he repeatedly kept coming back trying pretty much every article of clothing that we had. Once he finally found what he liked, he personally thanked me and everyone else that helped him. And as the giveaway was going out, I could see Jesus' words being put into motion. Like, I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. You visited me. You took me in. That's pretty much what I saw. Awesome. So yeah.
All right, Michaela. Michaela got to dance with me in Harlem. Harlem. Okay. It was really cool, but I was glad that she was there. The kids loved it. Every time I looked, she was always playing with, you know, soccer and all that kind of stuff, and the kids loved her. So why don't you give it up for Michaela?
Hi, City Church. I'm going to be honest. I didn't want to go to this New York City trip. I was really nervous to go, and my mom kept pushing me. It was like, you need to go, you gotta go. And I was like, I don't want to go. I don't really want to be away from you. I want to be away from my sister. And then I came to the City Church one time, and I remember Shandy and Nicole, they were telling me about it. I was like, okay, I'll go. And so on our way there, I was really nervous, and I got homesick from being away from my sister because, like, she's, like, my best friend even though she's four. but God sent this little boy, Zachary, to me, and he was, like, so attached to me. He was, like, by my side. He was playing soccer with me. He would come and get food with me, or he would just laugh and play with me, and he got his face painted, and it made me really happy to see him laugh. And I started thinking of my sister, and I was like, wow, I really miss her. And then when we left Harlem, he gave me a hug and kissed me on my forehead, and that's what I did to my sister before I left. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, did God really just send him to me to kiss me on the forehead? And then I knew my sister was okay and she was doing okay. And I knew she missed me, but I was here for a reason. And God just puts his power into the little things to make you smile and know he's there.
Good job. Nice. Sue Ann, she did a great job. For somebody that is terrified of crowds, she was working that subway like a boss, right? The subways were so crowded, and she's like, I'm so glad I have you. I'm so glad everyone's here. But you did such a great job.
Well, if this trip wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't for Lenny and Robin believing in me. What I took away from this trip is that we have so much to be thankful for. And yet, there's so many people that don't. And God broke my heart this week to see the homeless. And that's what we asked him to do, to see things the way he sees them. And he broke my heart this week to see the homeless. They were so thankful for the little things that we gave them. I took away from the trip that we are so blessed, and that everything we give gets reused by God somehow.
Amen. 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 Our prayer was this week that God would break our hearts for what breaks his, and that was really powerful. Here's Nicole. She tore it up in homeless ministry, and it was really cool to watch. So just share what
I didn't really plan anything to say. I just know 2 years ago when I walked in this church, I was broken. I was pretty much off the streets. I was the person begging for the dollar. I had nothing when I walked in here. And God has just built me up. And for my past to be revealed to me on the other side, and me giving people money or me praying for them and me reaching out to them and God giving me every word that I had to give them was because I had that in me. I was that person before. I was on the other side of it, and it was just, it came natural to me because I kept thinking, what if somebody came up to me and prayed for me when I was on the street? What if somebody came up to me and said, you don't have to live like this? Like, that never came. That never happened to me, you know? Never had somebody reach out to me until, you know, I was in Hope Haven and Pastor Larry shined his light on me. It was amazing. And it was awesome to see God work and use everybody, all their gifts, all their talents. Like, the first mission we went on, they were like, can anybody make balloon animals? And Jess is like, me. I'm like, are you kidding me? Balloon animals? You can just whip out a balloon animal. It was just funny. I don't know. It was amazing to watch God work. And Erin is such a good leader, but she's soft-spoken, and she's not, like, overbearing. And just Chris and the Buzniaks are so funny. And then Nicole, the ultimate navigator, and Mackenzie, just, she budgets her money well. Then you got Michaela's like the pixie stick queen that made everybody laugh. And then Shan is just fun. And, you know, Susan was like the mother. She's just so motherly and so kind. And then Brandon was just hilarious. Like, it was just amazing. It was just a good time. And it's just cool to see God work. And the other thing is, too, is you have stuff to offer. You have something inside of you. Like, if there's, even if, like, okay, let me just think of this. If you're in a crowd and everyone is supposed to clap, but nobody claps, does that make sense? No, it doesn't. Just, it's nobody claps and nobody claps. We need, everybody has to use that little bit inside of them. You know what I mean? Your past, any like weakness or power, or anything, just give it out. Just give what you have, because it can be used, is what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Nice, nice. So, yes, Jess, I'm so glad that they got to come together, because, you know, we see Chris a lot. He's up here preaching, doing his thing. But we got to see a different side to Jess, and she loves people. She really loves people. And so many hidden talents came out, like the balloon animals. She was walking around, you know, the parks with this big sparkly fanny pack, blowing up balloon animals, but who knew? And yeah, Chris tried to fix the TV, didn't happen, but Jess could. She could fix the TV. So I was so thankful that they got to go together. So give it up for Jess.
I did write all these notes, but when we went to the Dream Center, we met this guy, Will. I wanted to start off by telling everybody a little tidbit of information. Will said that you know that you are legendary status when somebody refers to you by your first and last name. So I was very honored to serve with Pastor Erin Martin and the legendary Nicole Murtha. I don't care what Chris B. says. Gosh, I experienced so much. I'm a watcher. I watch people. I have, like, a big heart. And I'm like, Chris, for the longest time, he's like, sometimes you just got to know when to stop. You got to know when to just sit back and kind of let people take their own reins and stuff. And I'm, like, always just trying to fix everything for everybody. And I watch people and try to figure out what I can do to help them and what I can give them to, you know, do what they need to do. And so it was, like, the first full day we were there, we toured all over New York City, and we prayed at every single place for certain things where people were hurting, what the needs were in those places. And we no sooner just walk into Central Park, and I look, and Chris is gone. And I look back, and he dips into his snacks and his drinks in his bag, and he just lays it next to this homeless man and walks away. Like, he didn't even notice that he did it. And anybody who knows Chris knows it's a big deal for him to dip into his snack bag and just give it away to anybody. But I just thought that was awesome, and I just kind of knew that maybe I was going to find something here. I've been invited to take part in a lot of different parts of ministry and to do things and to volunteer for stuff, and I hadn't really found, like, my niche anywhere. I was happy to serve, and I did what I was asked, but I never really felt at home in any certain part of ministry. And then I seen what the Dream Center does. Like, they have a storage unit where they keep all their stuff. Every day they go in there, they get what they need, they put it in the van, they do amazing outreach, and they serve people, they go back, they do it again, and this is what they do, like, every single day. And it's just, in their heart to do this for people that they don't even know every single day. And it really hit me when we were doing the homeless ministry. It was so easy for me just to walk up and talk to people and not be scared because they were drunk and high or dirty. I didn't even see those things in people. We met so many grateful hearts and personalities that we'll never forget. They made us laugh. We sat there and like this street, this grimy, drug-ridden street in Harlem was filled with prayer and fellowship and laughter. And I just looked back and I was like, wow, this happened here. You know what I mean? And I found my niche. It just hit me all at once that my whole life being surrounded by alcoholism, drug abuse, being homeless myself, and all these things that I went through, is like, this is why. I want to be God's hands and feet. I want to help these people. I want to do this stuff. Like, I know what it's like to take my son to a soup kitchen so he doesn't go hungry. I related to these people. It was almost like I was sitting amongst family, as strange as that sounds. I was sitting with these people, and my heart went out to them. And I found a couple things interesting. I know, I'm not even reading all my notes. But the quote on the Statue of Liberty, where we found all these people that were in such need, says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." And this is the promise that people look upon when they come into that city. And then I was looking and reading my Bible that night that I came home from the homeless ministry. And I read in Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary, burdened, and I will give you rest." And I went for a walk with, I'm trying not to take too much time. I went for a walk with Chris to get something to drink one night, and there's a Subway right next door to the restaurant. And when I was walking, my foot hit something, and I looked down, and I realized that I kicked a homeless guy on accident. I waved to him, and I smiled, and when we were in the store, me and Chris decided we were going to get him a bottle of water, and we were going to talk to him. And when he looked at Chris when we came back down, and he said, "I seen you before, I looked at you," and he's like, "and when I looked up, all I seen was light." He's like, "it was like a magnet, like we were connected somehow, like I just needed to talk to you." And then Chris asked him his name. He told us his amazing story, and we sat there on the street with him and talked and prayed with him. And I just decided that I want to be that person. I want to be that light. I want to show the love of Jesus through things that I do, and I want to serve an outreach. I found my niche, and that's what I want to do.
I didn't call him about the chicken. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? This is good stuff right here. I've never been on a missions trip before. I do get opportunities to serve every day because I work here at the church and I meet all kinds of people. And going to New York City, it didn't really intimidate me. It was what we were going to do because I knew it was a big city and I knew the type of people that were down there. So I was a little nervous and I really didn't know what to expect. And like my wife, I really didn't feel uncomfortable speaking to these people, to the homeless and to the addicted and to the lost and to the broken, because I too once was homeless. I too once was broken and addicted to drugs. And so it was like second nature. Like my wife said, it's funny you said it, it was like almost like sitting with family, because I still have family who are lost and broken and in need of a savior. So it was nothing to me. And so I was going through this trip and I thought I learned a lot about ministry, and I did. I learned a lot about outreach ministry and street ministry and Adopt a Block. And we had a little meeting and she said, "What did you learn this week?" And I shared something, and it really didn't hit me till I got home. And I'm going to cry too, because God has a way of doing that to me, and because he changed me completely. And when I got home, I got here first thing in the morning. Monday morning, I started opening up the church for prayer, turn on the lights, and it hit me. God spoke to my heart, and he told me that I needed to be more thankful, and that I'm blessed. We're all blessed. And I took some notes. I wasn't going to read my notes, but I'm going to go through them quickly. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It's been said that the happiest people don't have the best of everything. They make the best of everything they have. I'll never forget this trip to New York City. I met all kinds of people. I prayed with men who didn't have a place to sleep. They slept on the sidewalk. I met women and children who had no food to eat. They didn't know where the next meal was coming from. I met a man who was sick, but he couldn't go to the doctor because he didn't have any insurance. He didn't have any money. He had nothing. These people were lost and they were broken and nobody seemed to care about them. In New York City, they walk past them and they don't think twice. They're nothing. They're dogs. They're dirt. And I'm telling you guys, when I got back, the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me and he said, Chris, stop being so bitter. Stop complaining so much because you got it made, brother. You got it made in the shade. And I'm telling you guys, I noticed that not one person complained. When they came through the line, they were grateful for the bottle of water they were given. They were grateful for the sandwich that was handed to them, for the shirt. Whatever it is that they received, they were very thankful. They didn't complain. They didn't do anything. And I realized how selfish I can be sometimes. Sometimes I get so wrapped up in how hard I think my life is. And sometimes I spend too much time worrying about the things that I don't have. I forget about the things that I do have. And I'm thankful for many things. And I just want to share a couple of things that I'm thankful for. And you're probably thinking that I'm going to tell you that I'm thankful for my clothes and the food that I have in my house. But God spoke to me in a different way because, you know, the people that minister down there, they have no church. They don't have nowhere to gather and to worship. They rent a space in a high school auditorium, which is dirty. It's not even clean. They don't have the things that we have. And God's showed me how blessed we are to have this building, a place to come together and to worship and to praise, a place to go when we're in trouble and when we need something. We got pastors and leaders and elders here that care about us, and we don't ever have to worry about being on the streets and being alone or never having any food to eat. And that's what God spoke to me when I was coming through here. He told me to count my blessings. Don't just count them, but name them one by one. List them and speak them out loud. Because when the enemy attacks you, which he will, he'll try to tell you how bad your life is and how hard you have it. But I'm telling you right now, brothers, we are blessed and highly favored. And call upon the promises of God when he comes at you. Because there's people out there right now that are fighting to survive. And every day when I wake up after this mission, I will be thankful for the life that I'm given. Because just like I told you, there's someone somewhere fighting. Literally fighting to survive, fighting to find out where they're going to lay their head or where they're going to eat again. So we are blessed and highly favored. And when I pray, I'm going to pray something like this. Dear God, I don't want to ask you of anything. I just want to thank you for the things that I do have. Amen. Can I drop the mic?
Amen. I'll just try to wrap this up. This team has been amazing. I hope that you gained some nuggets from them tonight. But I, too, did not honestly want to go on this missions trip. It was one of those things that I knew I was supposed to go, but I just didn't really want to go. And so Tuesday, we left, and it was a very, very long train ride, very long. And so, you know, you just have that kind of, like, attitude, like, okay, I don't really want to be here, but I'm here, praise Jesus. And so Wednesday morning, I was in the bathroom, and I'm praying, you know, God, help my attitude, change me right now, because I don't want to walk through this week like this. And as I'm praying, and I, you know, Kingdom Bound was last week. Forgive me if I cry too. God always does that to me. So Kingdom Bound was last week, and it wasn't even a prayer. It was just a thought in my mind. If my son can go to see Toby Mac, that would be really cool. That's all I thought. It wasn't even a prayer. So we're going, you know, we're getting ready to do all this stuff with the Dream Center, and but my husband texts me. He said, hey, we just got tickets, Malachi and I, to go see Toby Mac. I was like, what? That's awesome. That's crazy. You know, we call each other. Are you serious? Are you kidding? That's so cool. And, you know, I'm just happy. I'm crying. I'm like, oh, God, thank you for taking care of my kid, you know? And so then we go through the day. I'm just like, thanks, God. You're so awesome. You know, pastor says all the time, when you take care of God's business, he will take care of your business. And so I'm just, you know, I'm happy. And then late at night, it was like 11:30 at night, Ben calls me and everyone in our room is sleeping. And all they hear is me going, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. And so what had happened was Ben had called me and he said, you're never going to believe what happened. And I'm like, you know, a guy came over, because not only did they get to go to the Toby Mac concert, they got to sit in the front row at the Toby Mac concert. And then a security came over and went like this to them. They got to go up on stage. My son gave Toby Mac a high five, shook my husband's hand. And so he's shut up, right? So God not only took care of that little thing, he went, He does exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. More than we could. That was even more than, I mean, it was a thought in my mind. God, that would be really cool. And he said, okay, because of your obedience to go, I will take care of your kids. I will take care of your family. And I just want to encourage you. It doesn't have to be a missions trip. Maybe it's at work. Maybe you feel nudged to pray. Maybe you feel you need to bless somebody here. When you obey God, when you take care of God's business, when you do what he has asked you to do, he will take care of your business. When we obey God, when we put him first, he does exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. Amen? Amen. Amen.
I'll shut up in 2 seconds. What I'm feeling in my spirit when I'm hearing all this, there's a flow happening, and it's happening in the midst of us, and it's been happening. If you haven't noticed it, open your eyes. It's been happening over the last few months. God's Spirit's been speaking in this house week in and week out. And the scripture says we go from glory to glory. You can feel the anointing in the room increasing, increasing, increasing. And I'm listening tonight thinking, man, God's so crazy. I had no idea last week what they were going to do. No clue. No clue. Not even an idea. And I told Erin that. She goes, I really didn't either. And I'm listening tonight, and in my spirit, the Lord's just confirming, and he's saying to tell someone, you feel empty, you feel broken, you feel lost. There's people in this room tonight still feel lost, still feel empty, they feel dead inside. And God says, serve me, and I'll refresh your spirit. I'll fill you to overflowing. And you could listen to me tonight. You could say, who's that kid talking to me? Who's that kid saying them empty words? You can do it now, or you can do it later. You can have everything. You can have all the money in the world. And I've met the people with all the money in the world. Feel broken. Drive the nicest car. Have the flashiest outfit, wear the newest clothes, live in the nicest house, and they're broken. They have no one. Did you bow your head tonight? Father, we just recommit ourselves to you. Father, I ask that tonight someone would commit themselves to your service. That it wouldn't be just a few select, but God, it would be as a whole. And God, even as Chris spoke tonight, we're just thankful. God, we're just thankful for what you've done in us. We don't even care about the stuff. We don't even care about the things. God, we're just thankful for what you're doing in this place. I ask you tonight that in this moment, God, you'd hear our hearts. You'd hear our hearts cry. And God, that you'd increase the anointing in this place. That ears would come to hear, that eyes would come to see the glory and the anointing that's portrayed in this place. God, we give you thanks. We sent you tonight, God. We sent you tonight, God. If you say, Ryan, that's me tonight, I just want to recommit myself to his service, just lift your hand. God, you see the hands. You see the hands. We recommit ourselves to you. Fresh and new, God, use us. God, I just ask tonight that there'd be money that would flow in. God, that you'd use it to bless your kingdom in this city. That we'd begin to feed people like we've never fed them before. That people even watched in years past and said, they'll never top that. But God, because what you're doing in this place and doing in our hearts, God, that there'd be an explosion of your Spirit. There'd be an explosion of service in this place. Father, I ask tonight for a fresh anointing in this house and a new glory in Jesus' name. And I want to do one more thing. I just want to say this to you. I felt this in my spirit so strong over there. I almost jumped up and ran up here. You can't be anointed without anointing on her. And I felt this so strong that I have to share it. I felt the Lord say, she even said that I don't fit in that. She even felt at times, she sat over there and she said, this isn't me. I just don't fit. I don't feel like I'm a part. It's great for Chris. I'll just stand to the side and watch. But God said, that's my methodology. That's why it's you. Because you don't fit. And you looked at them people and you say, man, I fit in here. That's the heart of God. That's the passion of God. So Lord, bless them. Bless them, Lord. Beyond what they ever thought. An anointing beyond what they could ever imagine. Shut the mouths of people. We bless your name. Amen. Pastor Matt Sassano. You guys know Dianza? Dianza and Pastor Matt are going to be here next week. Don't miss next week. And grab somebody. I feel it with all my heart, and I don't say this all the time. I really, really feel the services week in and week out. You're going to see a newness, a fresh anointing, a glory upon glory upon glory. So Dad spoke a message not too long ago, and I believe it was prophetic, and he didn't even know it at the time. Remember the message he spoke? To the effect of don't miss a service, because you just don't know when it's going to happen. I'm telling you, don't miss a service. Don't miss a service. There's an explosion of glory and anointing in this place. I had this on my spirit tonight, even in worship when people were in the front. There's a consecration going on. There's a new commitment. There's a new spirit of hunger that's happening in this place. You don't want to miss it. Don't miss it. You've been in church your whole life. I've been in church my whole entire life. And these services, if you really get involved and really press in worship and really listen to the words that are spoken, you'll feel something. I mean, really, you're going to feel a change in your home and in your life. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? I love you guys. You guys are the best. Have a great night.